This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, August 21st. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, Legal Issues in the News examines the tuition that in-state and out-of-state students pay. But first, a look at today's news. Illinois' lieutenant governor says the state will inspect about 25 low-head dams along Illinois rivers. They're especially dangerous obstacles that have played a role in several deaths over the last few years, including 7 deaths this year alone on Illinois rivers and a 2003 drowning of a canoeist near downtown Danville on the Vermilion River. Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn says the dams create deadly undertows and swirling currents. They used to be built to generate electricity and to protect against flooding and erosion. Quinn says a review of those low-head dams may be done by next spring. A Republican who ran unsuccessfully for governor earlier this year says people are urging him to run for the U.S. Senate in 2008. Bill Brady, a state senator from Bloomington, says he has yet to decide his next political move and adds that it's too early to make a decision.
I'm going to spend between now and November helping elect Republicans to the state Senate, to the county boards, to the governor's office. After November, I said I would consider, I'll think about the U.S. Senate, but I must tell you, my heart really is someday in being governor of the state of Illinois. That's what I think I could do best for the people of Illinois.
Brady made his comments during a Republican rally at the Illinois State Fair, which ended on Sunday. He finished third in the Republican primary for governor back in March, but attracted a strong following among conservatives. Democrat Dick Durbin is expected to seek re-election to the U.S. Senate in 2008. A major teachers union is responding with interest to the education plan proposed by Republican candidate for governor Judy Bartopinka. The Illinois Education Association has not yet made an endorsement in the governor's race. A spokesman, Charlie McBaron, says the union is especially glad to see that Topinka's plan includes support for struggling schools. McBaron says the union's Political Action Committee will meet this week with both Topinka and Governor Rob Blagojevich, the first step to a possible endorsement. Topinka's plan includes $8.2 billion over 4 years for schools and teacher pensions. On top of that, she wants $3 billion for school construction. Topinka and other GOP candidates visit Tuscola, Rantoul, and Danville later today. Teachers at Rantoul Township High School meet this morning to determine their next step as contract negotiations struggle on. Talks have not produced a tentative agreement yet. School begins tomorrow at the high school. Beauticians, accountants, and tanning salons are all licensed by the state of Illinois, but so far tattoo and body piercing parlors have gone unregulated. As Amanda Vinicky reports, starting next summer, that will no longer be the case.
Because Illinois' tattoo parlors aren't licensed, blood banks are forced to turn away many wannabe donors. Federal guidelines require a year-long wait before anyone who got a tattoo at an unregulated parlor can give blood. It's a way to control the transmission of diseases. By July of next year, all facilities in Illinois that give tattoos and piercings will have to be certified. The Red Cross's Nora Sullivan says she's sure the law will have a positive effect.
Having that person now be able to donate immediately after receiving a tattoo means that there will be many more people able to donate blood, and this will help patients in Illinois.
State Representative Patty Bellock, a Republican from Hinsdale, says because it will ensure instruments are sterilized, the law will also protect people who get tattoos.
When you walk into a tattoo parlor, I would look on the wall to see if there is a certification registration, just for safety's sake.
Bellock says while less than 5% of Illinois' population donates blood, an estimated 25% have a tattoo. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The supply and demand economic principle has Urbana farmer David Kurtz bubbling with enthusiasm about the future of his business. More demand for corn means higher prices and bigger profits. And the dozens of ethanol plants under construction across the country mean demand for corn will go up in the next couple of years. One University of Illinois expert says he thinks the nation will need 5 million more acres of corn as soon as next year. Crop marketing specialist Daryl Good says farmers should be thinking about adding more corn acres. A U.S. Department of Agriculture report released earlier this year projects that the portion of the U.S. corn crop consumed for ethanol production will rise from 12% in 2004 and 2005 to 23% by the year 2014. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Classes have started or will soon start at colleges and universities across the nation. But like airline tickets, not all students are paying the same tuition rate. As Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, it all depends on where they live.
Okay, everybody, repeat after me. A domicile is a true fixed and permanent home to which one returns after an absence. A residence is a place where one lives, but not necessarily permanently. What difference does it make, you ask? Oh, say $10,000 per year plus, depending upon the university's tuition rate. Put another way, enough money to make a federal case out of it. Yep, it's that time of year again. Fall, when a young person's fancy turns to arcane legal definitions and how come she's considered an in-state student and I'm not? It's usually those pursuing graduate work who wonder it most often, if the reported cases are any indication. Perhaps because many of them, for the first time, are paying their own tuition bills. Students who are dissatisfied with their out-of-state status sue often on constitutional grounds, like equal protection and due process, trying to convince a court that the university was just plain wrong when it decided the domicile residents' thousands of dollars question against them. Take the fellow from Michigan who pursued a law degree in Indiana. In a letter certainly meant to spill some Wabash River-sized tears, he wrote to the university about his plans to live forever as a Hoosier. That, though currently single, someday he would raise a family in Indiana, his new but forever home. You get the idea. He sued when the school labeled him out of state. The court was as unmoved as university officials. Indianapolis was but his residence, it decided, not his domicile. Poetic letter, driver's license, voter registration, car registration, and bank records notwithstanding. Did I mention that he moved back to Michigan promptly after graduation? Which is one reason why it's tough to win these cases. First, courts find it perfectly constitutional for states to divide students into in-state and out-state camps and charge those who are domiciled out-state more tuition dollars. The preferential tuition basis, as the Supreme Court has called it, helps to protect and preserve the quality of the state's colleges and universities, or so the court has written. It's only when the restriction on in-state status fails to have a constitutional connection with the state's interests in favoring its own residents that the court will second-guess college authorities. When, for example, the court finds that the college has used an arbitrary and irrational classification system. Second, there's some nasty history there of students moving out of state after being declared in-state, which is not to say that the university always wins. While students at Temple and Rutgers were able to convince courts that their out-state status deserved a second look, a student at the University of Houston, who'd purchased a house in Texas, among other domicile indicators, had to pay the out-of-state rate. So put aside that SAT study guide on synonyms when considering the legal meaning of words like domicile and residence, and spin some Luther Vandross instead. He croons so aptly and taken so literally by many college administrators, a house is not a home. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. There's not much to say about the weather at all, and that's good at this time of year because that means mainly sunny skies and seasonable temperatures. Our forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser says today in the north and central sections of Illinois and Indiana, mostly sunny. In the south, a mix of clouds and sun with a few sprinkles possible in the far south. And highs today ranging from around 80 near Lake Michigan to 85 in southern Illinois. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, the lows from 55 in northeast Indiana to 63 in southwest Illinois. And for tomorrow, in the north, partly sunny, a few widely scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible. Elsewhere, mostly sunny still, and highs ranging from around 80 in far northern Indiana to 88 in southwest Illinois. And sunshine in the forecast as well for Wednesday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, August 21st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.